Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. As we wrapped up the handicapper support, I said by the end of the day, we'll have pretty much a Derby field set with the Lexington having a few points, but maybe playing into the Derby leaderboard. But more importantly, the Arkansas Derby having 100 points to the winner, and that'll definitely play into the Derby. We will talk about those on this morning's Racing Across America. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by Jeremy Plonk. HorsePlayerNow.com, countdown to the crown. We always talk to Jeremy throughout the Derby trail season as he watches those prep races and allowance races, important allowance races and whatnot, and puts together the nice countdown to the crown package every week. So some three-year-old conversation with Jeremy. Look at the Lexington and the Arkansas Derby, but also looking last week in review, Bluegrass, Santa Anita Derby, and the Wood Memorial. Jeremy Plonk coming up a little bit later on. But we didn't want to let the morning get away without some conversation, obviously, Arkansas Derby and Oaklawn in general. And so yesterday, both of these interviews we did yesterday, but we talked yesterday with the director of racing down at Oaklawn, Rick Hammerly, got some of his thoughts on this afternoon's action, and as I say, Oaklawn overall. So up next, director of racing at Oaklawn, Rick Hammerly. Happy to be joined now by the racing director down at Oaklawn, Rick Hammerly. Rick, good morning.
Good morning, Seth.
Happy to have you on
board. How are you?
To talk a little Arkansas Derby undercard stakes action on a big day at Oaklawn. We are actually pre-taping on Friday, but give us a little update on what your weather looks like coming up for the weekend.
Well, you know what? We always knock on wood here because every day here I'm learning in Hot Springs, the old 25% just shows up on the bottom of the screen no matter what. I think we're going to get lucky tomorrow. It finally turned. Meaning, the weather's actually been beautiful. I've seen colors I've never seen before because I've never been here this long. And so it's kind of cool. So tomorrow's supposed to be in the 70s, and we're going to have the infield's going to be open, like full blast infield for the fans to come in. And we're actually sold 6,000 seats inside in the grandstand, and the box seat holders will be here, and the restaurants will be full. So we're looking at 12,000-15,000 here, which is probably the ceiling that we're going to get to, but there will be atmosphere, and this is my first Arkansas Derby, and so I'm kind of looking forward to it. But it's in my mind, and I'm sure yours is the same, when Arkansas Derby came along, that was it. Meet was over, see you later. And, it's like, oh, darn, what did I miss? But still have a few weeks left, and including next weekend, we do the Apple Blossom and the Oaklawn Handicap, which, that could turn out to be very, very good, too. But, this weekend, the races tomorrow really came together. We have 13 of them, and I'll tell you, the smallest field is the Arkansas Derby. And so a good compliment. 13 dirt races is hard to put together, Pat. Pat Pope writes the races here, and to get that, to pull that off is always a special deal. You got to sacrifice a few days around it to come up with a big day, and it worked.
Yeah, it's really a nice card coming up on Saturday, highlighted, of course, by the Arkansas Derby. And I like a lot of tracks up here in our neighborhood. Saratoga with the Travers, the three-year-old stakes kind of highlight the meet, so this is an exclamation. But, yeah, you and I were talking before we went on the air. I love Oaklawn. I like to bet Oaklawn. And so I was thinking this week, man, I'm getting my last shots in. And then it dawned on me, oh, no, there's still plenty of time left with the new extended meet. And you mentioned the Apple Blossom. That I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be a very nice race coming up next week. So we'll talk about that certainly as the week progresses. But I also, just as we're into the meet now a little bit, normally during the Oaklawn meet, I'll talk with the folks down there. And one of the things that is kind of mind-boggling year after year, the claim box down there is typically on fire. I haven't seen any figures so far this year, but have the claims been kind of Oaklawn-ish as so far in the meet as well?
Well, just think of that fire you talked about and another couple gallons of gasoline to that. I think it was 2 weeks ago on Steve Dick's show, I brought up the claiming culture here, And the number, I'm thinking two, could have been 3 weeks, was 269. And I asked this morning, and we're at 355, which would mean close to 90-some claims in 2 weeks. And it's not, you know, once in a while. It's every day that there's claiming races here, and it's I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen the it's literally 10 a day. And it was discussing the culture here and the reason for it. You know, typically, if you're going to claim a horse, or if you're thinking of claim a horse, I would think you're going to have in mind, well, I'm going to claim this horse today so I can run him, you know, down the road at a certain place. You're not just claiming one and then saying, oh, we'll find out where we can run them. Here at Oaklawn, you always have a chance to run back. The races tend to go, the claiming races tend to go. So when you claim one, you know you're going to have a spot to run. And so, you know, when you lose, if you lose a horse, you want to get it back. If you lose three horses, you want to try and get three horses back. So it's just a continuation. A lot of horses change hands. And then on the other hand, the horses that run here are very competitive. So when you're claiming a horse here and you get a good horse from here and you move on to your next place, your next circuit, track, wherever it may be, Indiana, Remington, Churchill, you'll notice that the Oaklawn horses run very well. So there's some pretty sharp horsemen around here. And so when you see them show up, you know, later on in the year, in July and August, some of the horses that have run here, they perform well. So it's just the culture here. I mean, good horses run here and they continue on. I mean, just on a higher rank, look at Keeman. They had their big weekend last week. Well, Flagstaff, he prepped here in the Hot Springs, ended up winning the Commonwealth. He ducked the Count Fleet because he wanted to go 7/8. Kamari, she prepped here, went on to win the Madison, and then the Derby favorite, Central Quality, he prepped here in the Southwest. So a lot of good horses go through here, you know, on and on. And it's a frenzy. Like I said, we had a 20-way shake yesterday, and it's not uncommon.
20? Wow. And I said, I've talked about that in years past. It's like you have to have the asbestos gloves on to pick up the claim box down there, but I hadn't heard numbers this year. And then you talked about one of my favorite angles, too, one of my favorite handicapping angles. And you were talking about some of the high-end, Central Quality and Kamari and that type. But I think across the board, as this Oaklawn meet starts to wind down and horses go to other venues, it's really been a handicapping angle of mine for years now. I love the Oaklawn horses when they ship out to other venues. That 4 to 6 week period as Oaklawn winds down and ends and the horses ship out, I think you get the chance for a lot of opportunity for horses that on paper may look like they're a cut below where they're going. But for whatever reason, I think they come out of Oaklawn with maybe some added fitness. And those Oaklawn shippers, for me, have paid off very well over the years.
Well, you're right. They get battle tested here because they've usually run three or four times. And I've noticed the ones that come out of here and then go to Churchill. And if you do watch the Oaklawn races, at a, you know, pay attention at all during the day-to-day runnings of it. When a race is run, usually about the eighth pole, you want to look back into the pack and watch because usually a horse or two is coming here. So there's always a late runner. And if you keep your eye on those late runners that maybe don't quite get there here, that are second, third, maybe even fourth, when they get to Churchill, that longer stretch, they end up getting there and running very well. So that's a pattern that I, before I even came here, that I had developed. But, yeah, so keep on top of those horses that leave here and go other places.
Nice. Well, let's maybe talk about that Churchill angle as we talk a little Arkansas Derby. Obviously, the highlight of the meet, the highlight of the card on Saturday, Grade 1 event, $1 million up for grabs, 100 Derby points to the winner, a mile and an eighth, as you said earlier, a field of six. And I'm going to pull up the replay to the Rebel. Number 7, Concert Tour wins. Hoosier, the number 3, runs second. Running fourth will be number 8, Superstock. Number 1, Cattle River. A little bit of a disappointment as the favorite, running fifth in the Rebel. But again, those four come back on Saturday afternoon. To me, it looks like it goes through Concert Tour. And Concert Tour, I've said it a couple of times on our other shows this week, a big performance by him gives him the opportunity to maybe get up and flirt with Essential Quality for the horse that'll have some conversation for favoritism in the Kentucky Derby in a few weeks, because Essential Quality, given what we've seen on the rest of the Derby trail, clearly is going in as the favorite. But what are your thoughts on the Arkansas Derby field?
You're talking about the favorite. Our Derby crowd, very finicky. You better have won your last race to even think about being one of the favorites, because it's you lost the last race, toss. You go from 2-1 to 15-1 overnight. You know, we like the hot horses as we head to the Derby. Now, the Rebel is a prep race for the Arkansas Derby, and boy, it sure did its job, because five of the horses from the Rebel are coming back. Plus La Samurai, who ran here in the Southwest, so they've all got some experience over this trip. Now, I watched the replay a couple times last night, just to kind of get a feel and see what took place, and if anything maybe different is going to happen. I don't know. The setup is similar, where Caddo River's on the inside and Concert Tour is outside of him. Going into that first turn last time, the Caddo River, they had a choice to either, you know, hustle up and get inside there and vie for the lead or try to get the lead. That's decided not to. And at that moment, Concert Tour said, let's go. And he came, you know, went by and crossed over. And at that point, maybe the race was decided, as Concert Tour just, you know, kind of pulled away from Caddo River as they turned for home. Brad Cox, I think, was said that, you know, we're going to show a little more gas today. And I think that is the way Caddo River wants to run. On the other hand, Concert Tour has shown he doesn't necessarily need the lead. Being on the outside there, he can kind of play ball how he wants. He can lay off. He can, you know, be lapped on Caddo River as they go around. You know, the stretch run of the last race, the Rebel, a month ago, I noticed that when Caddo River was coming down the lane, he slightly bumped the horse Big Lake that was third. And the only reason I mention that is I think Big Lake could have been second. Hoosier was second, and he didn't really make a sustained run. He was okay, but he just happened to be second, one of those deals. And same thing with Superstock. He was fourth. He only got beat six. Like, you know, these two horses could run an improved race with the added distance. And we're going on a mile and eighth, and you've heard Bob Baffert say this all the time. When they hit the mile and eighth marker, that separates them. So that extra 16th of a mile, who's it going to benefit? And, you know, Peter Miller, you know, he doesn't mind shipping a horse or two. But for him to bring Get Her Number back after, you know, let's call it, it was a disappointing effort last time. I mean, it didn't show a lot. For him to come back with him, now granted it was his first race, I got to think that he thinks that he's going to run a much, much better race. So I would keep an eye on him, but, you know, I'm with you. I've been around Mr. Baffert way too long to know that. The door goes through him. You know, his numbers aren't through the roof, and he's got, and that's good and bad. The good part is he's got some room to go, and I think you might see them put the pedal to the metal here and see what you got here in Concert Tour. And I agree with you. If he shines, he'll be the last horse in people's minds that runs the big race and doesn't have a chance to vie for favoritism. But it's going to be very close between the gray horse and Concert Tour for sure.
Yeah, you kind of alluded to it. The pace scenario is going to be very interesting as they go down the stretch and into the first turn to see Caddo River and Concert Tour, how that parses out as compared to the Rebel. But a fun edition of the Arkansas Derby. A fun edition also of the Count Fleet Sprint, bringing back a three-time winner. How often do you get to say that in the stakes race? But Whitmore comes back in the Count Fleet on Saturday, having run second last time to CZ Rocket in the Hot Springs. We're going to take a look at that stretch run. And, Rick, we had you on that morning, and you were tilting towards CZ Rocket. So a good call there in a ding-dong battle to the wire that CZ Rocket won by a neck. CZ Rocket in the replay will be the number 7. Whitmore, the number 6 in here. I'm going to tilt towards Whitmore, the 8-year-old Breeders' Cup sprint winner. I don't know if you heard on BIC earlier this week, Ron Maquette was making a little case for a grading upgrade to the Count Fleet Sprint. And with the Breeders' Cup winner having won this race 3 times already, I can see making that case. But I'll tilt towards Whitmore. I put CZ Rocket in third. I thought Strike Power was interesting. Started the career with a lot of promise, and I'm wondering if the last race, the triple-digit win right here at Oaklawn, might have signaled he's getting back to maybe what he signaled really early in the career. So I thought Strike Power was a little interesting. What do you think in the Count Fleet?
I think you're right there, and I did not hear Ron's comments, but Steve queued me up about that. And you know, last year was an odd year as far as the greatest stakes go. You know, I am on the committee, and with the COVID situation, I mean, everything kind of just stayed the same. We didn't want to upgrade or downgrade too much because COVID did have an effect on some of the races, and we were just very careful with how we handled that situation. Coming back off of last year's run and then doubling up, you know, with the horses that are in this, it's going to be in a good position to move up. I can't really say what happens in the room and how that's going to happen, but it's in a very, very good position. So we had the Hot Springs last time, which was the prep, and you know, it did its job. And boy, you mentioned the kind of rivalry now with the Whitmore and CZ Rocket. It was great to see Peter come back here with that. And a little, not only Strike Power in here, but a little flare of Empire of Gold, who some might remember, some might forget, actually ran fourth in the Breeders' Cup. So having three of the top four horses in the Breeders' Cup here is pretty good. Hasn't run since November. If there's going to be an upset, if there's going to be an outside horse, I would keep your eye on this horse. I mean, ran a very, very good race, obviously, to run get beat four lengths in the Breeders' Cup. First time back, sometimes that's the best time. When they fire fresh and ready, Terry Off comes here. And, you know, keep your eye on that one. But it's going to be Whitmore. It's going to be CZ Rocket. You know, kind of wild to see CZ Rocket turn into a deep closer last time. Kind of came from the clouds, so to speak. You know, Whitmore likes to run with no parole in here. A little bit more speed for both of those guys to run at. And you know, I'm going to stick with what brought me, and I'm going to give CZ Rocket the nod again. I almost feel bad saying that here in the land of Whitmore, but I think it's going to be a ping pong battle. But I'll stick with CZ Rocket. Now, Mojo Man, real quick. Jimmy DeVito, he places his horses just right. He won a real nice allowance race here. Likes Oaklawn. He ran a huge race last time. It was in the swap. But, you know, we'll see if he can hang around for a little bit of a piece of it. But I think we're looking at the CZ Rocket Whitmore showdown again. And once again, this race just turned out really, really good.
Yeah, Whitmore being in, three-time winner of the race already. 9 wins and 15 starts at Oaklawn. Overall, he's won 15 and over $4 million. The 8-year-old will be fun to watch on Saturday afternoon, no doubt about it. A little bit earlier, the Oaklawn Mile, $400,000 up for grabs. As the name indicates, they'll travel a mile. I pulled up the Oaklawn handicap for last year to take a look at. The winner's going to be number 12 by my standards, who had a very good 2020. Other than the last couple of races of the season, the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Clark, the horse kind of went the wrong way. But this race was right in the middle of what was really a good season other than those last two races. I think the return to Oaklawn may be beneficial. This is the seasonal debut. I'm going to tilt towards By My Standards, but Rushy's interesting. Blackberry Wine, Gunnet for Steve Asmussen, Wells Bayou for Brad Cox. This is a fun race. Your thoughts on the mile?
Yeah, this race is loaded. This is maybe the best stake race where you could have an opinion all over the board. I agree with you on By My Standards was just on an absolute roll there until the Ali Sheba, which he won, and you know, running some pretty tough races coming back, and Brett Calhoun sure knows how to win races and knows what he's doing, and for him to say, you know, let's come back here, you know, he's not giving him one. He's going to be ready to roll. You know, I looked at the outside horse a little bit, the Sound, from Brad Cox is maybe being a little bit of a sleeper. This is his first time in a stake, so you're going to get a price if you do like him. I don't know if he can get the golden ring, but he might be in there. I noticed it was fun looking back to see his maiden who he lost to, and he lost to Idol, who went on to win the San Anita Handicap. So he's kept some good company. I'm not saying he's a winner, but it's something might you want to keep your eye on. So I you know, you got Pioneer Spears going to add some gas to this. And let's remember, here at Oaklawn, we have two finish lines. So when we run a mile, we start and end at the 16th pole. So that stretch run is not really, it's kind of a, you know, short stretch of the mile run, as Terry Wallace used to say. So you want, you're not looking for a closer in here. You want somebody that's going to be at or near the lead when they finally do turn for home, because that wire is boom right there. So horses like Wells Bayou and Rushy and Blackberry Wine, who you mentioned, I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I mean, I'm going to pick a horse in here that hasn't won a stake before, and that's Blackberry Wine. He's got three wins on the sheet, but he's actually won a few more races than that, as he got cut up he got disqualified for a few of his earlier races. He's shown his likeness for Oaklawn. I think he's going to be a higher price than Wells Bayou and Rushy and By My Standards, or maybe it's just five on the program. You might get up to eight to one. Kind of like the price he's going to be. He's sharp. He likes the track. I don't think it's a gimme, but I think this could be a breakout race for him. Rushy, who comes here from Michael McCarthy, who ships to win, let's say. He came back last year, he won the Apple Blossom last year, and he shipped around the country. Rushy decides to make his comeback here as well, and has run some big numbers last time. It's only the second time he's faced older horses. He did win the Pat Day Mile and only got beat six lengths in the Breeders' Cup. You know he can run, but let's see if he might need one. We try and beat him. And Wells Bayou did have his comeback. He's the one who worries me. And once again, he's only faced older one time as well in the Louisiana handicap. So, you know, looking for a little hole here and there, whereas Blackberry Wine's kind of been pounding heads with some of the older horses a little bit further along the road. So I'm gonna try and get a little bit of a price in Blackberry Wine.
Certainly does come off the nice race at Oaklawn in prep for this, so I have no argument there. And finally, the Carousel. This will be a fun race as well, a stakes race worth $250,000 a little bit earlier on the card, 6 furlongs for the fillies and mares. And I'm going to pull up the American Beauty from January 30th. It'll be number 7, Frank's Rocket, getting it done. Talking to Riley Mott, I think just subsequent to this race, Bill Mott's assistant, and I said, what made you ship over to Oaklawn? And Frank Fletcher wanted to see his horse run. No argument there, watching the horse win on your, quote-unquote, hometown track. So they come back to take a shot at the $250,000 in the Carousel. And this victory just looks so good. I'm going to tilt towards Frank's Rocket. But Edgeway's interesting, Casual, Wildwood's Beauty. Your thoughts on the Carousel?
Yep, Frank Fletcher. We have some loyal owners here that are Kansans, and with Short Leaf and with John Ed Anthony and a couple other guys. When they have good horses, they always tend to at least pass, you know, run them here, because this is the home track for them. And that's absolutely right with Frank Fletcher's horse. He's got another horse in earlier in the card in the fourth race. We have some loaded maiden races here, but he has a first-time starter trained by Brad Cox named Amazing Rocket.
With Marshall Graham's 10 Strike. They're partnered there. Interesting horse. I used it on top.
Good. I was just going to mention, been working well here, and we're looking for good things with that horse. So since you mentioned Frank, I thought I'd bring that maiden up. But coming back, I mean, Frank's Rocket undoubtedly will be the favorite. I was real intrigued, is a good word, maybe, when John Sadler called a few weeks ago and said, I asked him about Sistron coming for the Count Fleet, because he's shifted Flagstaff to Keeneland. He said, no, but I'm bringing the filly. And I was thinking, without asking a stupid question, what filly? I hung up and started looking around, and I saw that Edgeway was nominated. You know, you don't want to give it up. You don't want to give yourself up too quick. But pretended I knew exactly what he was talking about. And I hung up, and I started going through the things, and I thought, I saw Edgeway. That's who he meant. Now, Edgeway, as you look at the PPs, is a lightly raced filly. She's run 5 times. She broke her maiden here at Oaklawn, and I'm going to say it was the most impressive maiden winner of the year, boy or girl. And, I was telling earlier in Steve's show, it was one of the few horses I got the old wink, wink from the stable, like, this is a runner. And boy, she did. And then, she tried State Company right away and got beat by, Kamari. That's right. Not a bad filly. And Frank's Rocket. So been in good company since day one. Was out of action since the Dogwood in June. and came back in Santa Anita and, you know, ran a great comeback race, good time, 9 flat is a pretty darn good time, especially the way the tracks have been playing out there. And, you know, he could have stayed home last week and run against Gamine if he wanted to, and probably made a good decision and decided to come back here. Now, you know, it's not often a horse stable in California that's, you know, enjoys Oaklawn. So John said, you know, the horses won 2 times here, had a great comeback race, won a big number next time. You know, I'm gonna go with the California team here, and I'm gonna say Edgeway's gonna run a monster race here and win this one with Frank Strachette not too far behind. A couple of other interesting horses in here. You mentioned Casual from Steve Asmussen's barn, who's fires every time. Another Oaklawn, likes Oaklawn. And the rail horse, Wildwood's Beauty, seems to run every time. And, you know, Scott, he's 2 for 1 here. His horses have run real good. But this horse could pick up the pieces should something happen up front, for sure.
I'll just toss this out there because I don't think I've mentioned it this week, but you talked about Casuals being trained by Steve Asmussen. How about Steve Asmussen being the leading trainer at Sam Houston, but he was also the leading owner? What? How's that crazy?
I noticed that. Wow.
Not something you see too often.
I was going to say, and yet it seems like there's more of one of him because, he's one of those guys, right? You'll see him, like you say, Sam Houston, he won the 9th at Sam Houston at midnight. It's like, is that Steve in the winner's circle? And then the next morning, he'll be here, you know, on a pony, ponying a horse. He's really a hands-on guy, as Brad is. And believe me, you don't win these races by not being a hands-on guy. But you know what I'm saying? Some guys, some trainers out there, it's like, hey, is Jimmy here today? Oh, no, I haven't seen him in a couple of days, you know, whoever it may be. But he's right on there. And, you know, it's you mentioned trainers. I mean, think about it. We have the second and third most winning trainers of all time here between Jerry Hollendorfer and Steve Asmussen. Steve will end up being number one maybe by the end of the year if the numbers continue. But, a lot of good trainers come through here and are stable here, and I'm really starting to appreciate after your first full year here, the goings on here at Oaklawn. So, you know, I'm glad to be talking about it, and you know, the racing day in and day out is pretty darn good, but when the good days come up, they're very good.
I'm glad you're talking about it too, because you passed out some good information. Rick, we always appreciate the conversation. I love talking Oaklawn. As I said, it's probably my favorite track to play. I think there's a lot of value, and I really enjoy it. And so I'm happy that meet is now extended over the past few seasons and get a little more Oaklawn after the Arkansas Derby. But as I said earlier, those three-year-old races, always the highlight of meets, and that's no exception with the Arkansas Derby on Saturday. So, again, Rick, appreciate the conversation. Good luck to you and everybody down at Oaklawn on Saturday afternoon, and we'll talk again.
Always a pleasure, Seth. And like they say, the sun always shines at Oaklawn Park.
I like that. Rick Hammerly, racing director down at Oaklawn. The big day coming up Saturday afternoon, highlighted by the Arkansas Derby.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Happy to be joined now by our friend Jeremy Plonk, horseplayernow.com, Countdown to the Crown, and much more. Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. You're looking dapper. You got the open collar sport coat look today. It must be spring in upstate New York.
Hopefully Bic isn't watching, because I came, we co-host on Sunday mornings up at Saratoga on the backstretch, and I came in like this one Sunday morning, and I didn't hear the end of it. No tie. I had to label it. I labeled it summer casual. So, summer casual.
You don't want to get into a threads battle with that guy. I mean, he takes his clothing serious.
Vic Zass called him the Bo Brummel of Saratoga and Bloodhorse a few years back. And yeah, I do not stack up. I'm not getting into a competition over there. Before we get into it, I'm going to tip my cap to you, because 4 weeks ago, we had you on the show. It was a lot of fun. Great conversation. Obviously, Countdown to the Crown. Again, I'll tout the package. People can go look. During the week, but on Fridays you put up the nice package reviewing stakes, previewing stakes on the Triple Crown Trail, and again with the Arkansas Derby and the Lexington coming up today, I thought we'd talk that and review some of the action from last week. But again, we had you on a few weeks ago talking Derby Trail, and at that point your top 20, you had Life is Good on top, and I had noted a few weeks earlier when we had you on, you had him down the list a little bit, kind of questioning his stamina, maybe the Derby distance. And so I said, why is he on top? And you said, I can't ignore the Baffert juggernaut. But right. In his previous race, and you tipped your cap to the time you spent with Charles C. Candy, you said, in his last race when he drifted, hey, you know, I didn't like that. I didn't like the way he looked, really. So I can't ignore the horse. I can't ignore the talent. If he makes it to the Derby, I'll have to put him up there at the top of the list. But you said, and I'm paraphrasing, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't make the Derby. 3 or 4 hours later, Life is Good is out. I'm getting texts from viewers going, this guy's Nostradamus.
Well, look, it's mechanics, right? I mean, it's kind of like, they say, like, if you're carrying luggage through the airport, when they talk about lead changes, right? You get tired on one side, you got to switch and change the way you go. If a horse is drifting out, there's something wrong on the left side of him, you know? And I talked about when you watch the head-on replay, that horse was, like, coming down the stretch like this, you know? His back end was not straight and coming like that. So it was a hind end left issue, because he was coming this way and he was drifting out. And what happened was he had surgery on his back left ankle. It's just like, trust your eyes, right? Trust your eyes, not your ears. That's the most important thing I can say, because – you know, what you hear and what you read in the press sometimes is the story and the account that you're given. And there's a reason, Seth, I do not interview trainers in Countdown to the Crown. We've done this series for 16 years. It's 5,000 words a week, 26 weeks a year, and you're not going to find any trainer interviews in it. You know, I'm going to trust my eyes, not what I hear and read. And there's nothing wrong with interviewing trainers for feature stories and interview shows and things like that. But I think if you're going to do good deductive analysis and scouting of these horses, do it yourself. Do it with your eyes and your ears, and you're going to find that you're going to be right more often than you're wrong.
Yeah, as I said, it was funny. I was talking to people, and man, what kind of a crystal ball does this guy have? Folks were certainly amazed.
I wish I did, you know. I mean, my wagering account balance would be a lot higher. I mean, if I could predict everything, you know. You don't get paid for predicting an injury, and certainly I do not take any pride in that whatsoever. You know, I mean, obviously the horse is the most important asset we have in this game. So, you know, we obviously want the best for them. And so it's sad to see him sidelined, but hopefully he'll be back for summer campaign.
Yeah, we'll count on him getting back, look for him a little later in the year. Greatest Honor has also gone to the sidelines. They said 60 days for him, so we'll look for him to come back a little bit later. Typically, you know, the Derby Trail, it happens, and we'll get into this last 2 or 3 week period and usually lose one or two there, but we'll knock on wood that doesn't happen this year. But there have a couple of notables have gone to the sidelines. Before we get to the three-year-old action last week and this week, I do want to give you a chance just to talk also Keeneland. We watched the simulcast signal in here when I'm doing the afternoon handicapping show. The slate of selectors, you're always one of those that are up there. Folks can find your selections for Keeneland on their website every day. Right. Just talk about early in the Keeneland meet so far. Anything notable to you?
Well, the Gulfstream horses on turf are performing extremely well. That's typical of the season, and they are living up to it this year. So definitely something to follow. You know, Wesley Ward won six races the first 4 days of the meet, and none of them were with two-year-olds. You know, you expect Wesley. He's tied or won the leading trainer title 3 years in a row at Keeneland in the spring. But when he racks up two-year-old wins, that's usually the bulk of what he does, you know. This year, he's not doing it with the two-year-olds. He's doing it with the older horses, and they're all running well. Joel Rosario, Luis Saez, they are just absolutely dominant in the saddle. They're riding lights out. Saturday, Rosario will be on the road from Keeneland. He's going to Arkansas to ride, of course, you know, at Oaklawn in the Arkansas Derby. So while the cat's away, the mice will play. It's going to be curious to see who picks up the slack and has a big day. I suggest you follow Luis Saez very closely Saturday at Keeneland.
Yeah, and, you know, the tie-in with that, of course, is the post-training career for Kieran McLaughlin's turning out pretty well with Luis Saez.
Yeah, he's dovetailed right into being a jockey agent with as much success as he did as a trainer. So, you know, Saez is an excellent rider who's aggressive on the front end. He'll take advantage of a pace advantage, and he'll take advantage of a race where it looks like there is no pace. And a lot of jockeys won't make that assertive move, and that benefits him very well. You know, if you handicap a race and there's not any pace on it in paper and Luis Saez is in there, assume he's going to the front.
Yeah, he's riding lights out, no question about it. All right, let's get into a little recap, a little review of last week's three-year-old action, get some of your thoughts there. And I looked at your top 20 for that. And again, it comes out every Friday. So this week's Countdown to the Crown was out earlier today. You have Bourbonic at number 13. As you've said in previous years, once we get to this point, horses that make the list aren't necessarily getting your juices flowing as a winner of the Derby, but they've got enough points to get in. And that's what's going to be on your top 20. The horses that are most likely to get to the starting gate get some conversation. So you have Bourbonic at number 13. You had Dynamic One at number 15. They've got enough points coming out of the Wood Memorial. We're going to watch the Wood Memorial. Bourbonic is going to be the number 3 horse at 72-1. Dynamic One, the number 5 horse at 15-1. It's a Todd Pletcher exacta where for a buck you got $453. And Bourbonic, we're seeing him here, comes from out of the clouds to get up under Kendra Carmouche. More notable maybe than the big price on the Pletcher exacta was kind of the no-shows. Candyman Rocket throws in a dud for the second time. Risk-taking is the favorite, finishes 7th in the field of 9. Weyburn, you know, is a 4th, but not an inspiring 4th. Crowded Trade of the horses that were expected to run well with the 3rd does the best of that bunch. But I've said it a few times this week. It seems like this year's Derby Trail is playing out the way it has for maybe the past 4 or 5 years, where along the Derby Trail, you would get a big performance, you would get some promising horses, and then they just failed to validate in the next race, other than Essential Quality, who we'll look at later. But I think the Wood Memorial was just kind of the perfect example of that scenario.
Yeah, look, there's a big difference between a mile and a 16th and a mile and an 8th. And then the next difference, of course, is the mile and a quarter. And some of those horses just don't make that step to the next level for the mile and a 16th. And when you're talking New York, you go from the Gotham being a one-turn mile to that mile and an 8th. So it's quite a move. The most surprising thing about that Wood Memorial was risk-taking, taking such a step back, right? Because he had run the mile and 8th in the Withers. I thought he wisely skipped the Gotham instead of jerking around the distance from 2 turns to 1 back to 2 turns. I thought he was prepped perfectly up into the race. I thought they made all the right moves, but the horse just didn't fire for whatever reason. So risk-taking looked to be for Chad Brown a really legitimate distance-type horse. Now, of course, the wheels have come off there, and you wouldn't expect them to move on with him towards the Kentucky Derby. The Withers isn't going to be enough points for him to get in. So maybe they try to regroup towards the Belmont with a horse like that. But a surprising result there. You don't need me to tell you that when the tote board tells you the exact result. But it's Todd over Todd. And look, Pletcher, from, you know, 2018, when Magnum Moon won at Arkansas, he won the Arkansas Derby. In 2019, the only thing Pletcher won was the Sunland Derby with the second-rate horse. In 2020, he didn't win any of the preps. In 2021, he didn't win anything until the Florida Derby the last week of March. but he had a good second with a long shot at Turfway, a horse named Sainthood,
who I thought was best. Sainthood, I thought was best in that race, had trouble. The stewards looked, and I think they made the right decision because I don't think it was the winner that bothered him. But yeah. He got bothered enough that I thought he was the best. And I say that because I had a little skin in the game at 10-1. I took a little pop with him, and so it was a good.
Yeah.
But I thought Sainthood looked good in the Jeff Ruby.
He did. And look, Todd's horses are all running good now. His three-year-olds, he had Ghazali win a nice mile and an eighth maiden special at Keeneland. He won a couple of maiden races yesterday. Todd Fletcher's three-year-olds are all running really good now. And it's unfathomable that he went 2 years, 2.5 years almost on the Kentucky Derby trail with only a Sunderland Derby victory. I mean, that's just bonkers for the stable that he has. But they are all running exceptionally well over the last month. So that Fletcher ran 1-2 in the wood is still a surprise with those two horses. But that his horses are running very well now going to the Derby is a good sign for all of them pointing forward because he's got it going again. And you know, he's the most powerful man in racing for the first part of this decade. You remember Bob Baffert wasn't winning Triple Crown races between 2002 and American Pharoah in 2015. He won exactly one in 13 years, that being looking at lucky. Todd Fletcher had like the rising power stable. Chad Brown had the turf horses, but Todd Fletcher was dominant on the dirt and then just kind of vanished over the last 2+ years. The best horse in his stable may have been Largent, a Virginia bred on turf. But now he's got some quality options for the Derby. Known Agenda, of course, the Florida Derby winner at the top of that list. But Todd may have four starters in this year's Kentucky Derby. Two from the Wood, Sainthood from the Jeff Ruby, and of course, Known Agenda. So he might have 20% of the Derby field.
Yeah, and he was a guy who was very prominent. The last couple of years were an aberration, let me put it that way, because he was very prominent on that Derby trail scene. He would pick up some of those and come to the Derby with some live horses. So the last couple of years, a little bit of an aberration, but that aberration played into a $453 exacta on Saturday. All right, let's shift attention to the Santa Anita Derby. Not as much of an upset as the Wood Memorial, but a little bit of an upset there. We'll watch the stretch run, and it will be number three, Rock Your World, getting it done at 5-1, but more notable, running second, Medina Spirit, and a well-beaten second, over four lengths behind at 4-5 is Medina Spirit, the number seven horse. Dreamshake, the number two, runs third. But, again, a little bit of an upset here with Rock Your World, and I will say, Rock Your World in the first couple of starts of the career, two wins. They were both on turf, however, for John Sadler. One was a stakes race on the turf. They try the dirt. They try the Santa Anita Derby. They pick up 100 Kentucky Derby points. And I was about to say that this horse, I think, came out with a little bit of interest and buzz from people. And I'm looking at your top 20. And whereas, you know, as I say, Bourbonic is sitting at 13 and Dynamic 115 coming out of the Wood Memorial, you popped Rock Your World up to number six. So you must have been a little bit impressed with this performance, too.
Yeah, and look, he's a horse who showed talent, like you mentioned, on the turf, and now he got to the dirt. This race, you know, all races are shapes, right? I mean, you're trying to put the puzzle together. This race looked like it would be one wire-to-wire, you know? Would Medina Spirit be sent to the front? Maybe, maybe not. I took a crazy shot with Parnelli because John Sheriff's barn had been going well of late, and I thought Parnelli might make the lead. Parnelli set second early behind Rock Your World, and Rock Your World went wire-to-wire. This race set up to be one wire-to-wire, and it was. And Medina Spirit has shown that he's just a really steady kind of horse that doesn't have a lot of gears. There's nothing wrong with that. It might actually, I think it will play better in the Kentucky Derby than the winner's style Rock Your World. So, you know, I still have Medina Spirit ranked a spot ahead at 5 over Rock Your World at 6. And people say, well, how in the heck can you do that? You know, we're not picking our favorite horse. We're not picking our best horse. We're ranking Derby horses here. And, you know, Bob Baffert, a mile and a quarter, horse has more foundation, Medina Spirit. Those things all come into play over a mile and a quarter in a big 20-horse field. Rock Your World got things his own way, but he's got three career starts. He's got that Justify kind of resume. Is he Justify? I don't think so. So does he win a Kentucky Derby off that kind of foundation? Probably not, but I've got him in at 6th. If you're the 6th best horse in the Kentucky Derby, what's that make you, 12, 15 to 1, something like that? You know, right around those odds. I think he's about a 12-1 shot in the Derby, and I think he's, you know, going to be a little bit dependent on the pace and how many fast horses are in there. We've seen some horses go to the front and not turn back in the Kentucky Derby, but those are, you know, your maximum securities, authentic a year ago. Do you think Rock Your World's in that category again? Probably not. So, again, that's where I think he gets respect because he's undefeated. He looked really good in the victory. Nothing to knock whatsoever in his victory. He galloped out like an absolute monster beyond the wire. I just think the challenge will be different in Kentucky for him. And that foundation has tripped up a lot of horses not named Justify.
Let's move on to the Bluegrass. Again, I wanted to do the two, a little bit of the big upset and a little bit of an upset, and then get to where things kind of came back to reality in the Bluegrass. And as I noted, I think this season is a lot like over the past 4 or 5 years, where you just haven't had those horses validate. And so you don't get 4 or 5 or 6 horses coming into the Derby really on a good move with a series of races. You get maybe 1 or 2. And this year, it's Essential Quality, depending on Saturday afternoon, a concert tour. Maybe he gets into that category as well. But, boy, I like this performance from Essential Quality on Saturday in the Bluegrass. He's the number 4 on the outside coming down the stretch, highly motivated to number 3. And it is an absolute ding-dong battle that Essential Quality wins by a neck. Now, some people might think, well, did this race take a lot out of him? My opinion is I like the kind of the gut check, and he scores big on the gut check with the win and has plenty of time to recover getting to the Kentucky Derby. I like that he got in a little bit of a dogfight. He stays undefeated with the 5-for-5 record. And again, given what we've seen earlier this year, this puts him firmly at the top of the class. What were your thoughts coming out of last week's Bluegrass?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to see him do it again. And, you know, Concert Tour was so impressive in the Rebel that, you know, I had him up higher. But now that you get 1 1/8 validation, right, they don't all go from 1 1/16 to 1 1/8 successfully. Essential Quality did, and that's what brings him back to the top. Highly motivated. I underrated him. I did not read him well. I did not think a couple months ago that he was a Derby horse. I absolutely think he is now. He ran an excellent race on the front end. And when you handicap that race, the more and more I looked at it with no speed in there, it looked like Highly Motivated had a shot to steal that. And I was kind of telling people it's probably about a 60-40, you know. One of these two wins the race, but I don't think it's like 80-20. I think it's a real chance that Highly Motivated could hang in there and maybe pull the upset. Came up short. Of course, Essential Quality was best. And he's going to be tough in the Kentucky Derby. Undefeated, he's got the resume. He'll have 2 works between the Bluegrass and the Kentucky Derby. The workout the week before the Derby on Saturdays has kind of turned into just being a maintenance move for most horses and horsemen. So it's that workout 2 weeks before the Derby that everybody's going to be looking at on Saturday. The way it works out, it'll probably take him about 2 weeks to get back on the work tab from that race last week at Keeneland. That's typical spacing. So his first work back is going to be his big work for the Kentucky Derby. And we're going to know a lot about Essential Quality and whether or not that race in the Bluegrass took something out of him or not. If he looks sharp in his first work back after that race, and that's his key tune-up for the Derby, look out. He's the favorite in the horse to beat. If he struggles in that workout and you're not impressed with it, then he's only got 1 shot to kind of get back. And that work will be the week right before the Kentucky Derby, where you typically don't want to do too much. So the next work for both those horses is really, really important, and it's going to fall in that key 2-week out window right now before the Kentucky Derby. So very interesting to watch. 2 weeks before the Derby on that Saturday, it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, the workout tab is always intriguing going into the Derby. Probably the one time a year where the workouts get as much attention as they do. And yeah, typically down at Churchill, there are a number of very experienced eyes, so we get some good thoughts on those. And typically there's also some video there, so we'll get a look at those workouts leading into the Derby. All right, let's go to today and pull out the crystal ball. Let's see if we can get the crystal ball working with some race thoughts. We'll start out taking a look at the Arkansas Derby. I'm going to pull up the Rebel because it seems like it's going to go through those two, Concert Tour and Hoosier, for Bob Baffert. But Caddo River, the last just was such a head-scratcher. Can that one bounce back? Superstock is maybe a little bit interesting for Steve Asmussen off a seasonal debut in the Rebel. It was a 4th-place finish we're seeing here. Concert Tour is the number 7 winning. Number 3, Hoosier, runs 2nd. Superstock runs 4th, and Caddo River runs 5th in here. But I just thought, it's Baffert, and off a nice performance like this, I tilted towards Concert Tour. But what are your thoughts on the Arkansas Derby?
Well, he should win, right? I mean, if that race runs back the way it did last time, he will win. 5 of the 6 horses in the Arkansas Derby all returned from that race you just saw, in which he won comfortably. Now, Caddo River was expected to go to the lead in that race and didn't. Florent Giroux sat 2nd in there, and let Concert Tour dictate the pace. The only way you change up that result is to change up the early tactics. Will Cattle River go out and attack early under Giroux and try to go after Concert Tour? If he does, then we've got ourselves a horse race. If he doesn't, we've got a procession for a mile and an eighth, and then I don't think they'll touch Concert Tour. Hosier, the horse from off the pace, benefits if the two go at it, and I think he'll be decent in value. I think Cattle River's going to get bet as the second choice. You know, he had the big win at Oaklawn and the Smarty Jones by double-digit lengths. I think people will forgive the last. I mean, remember, he was the favorite. Cattle River was the favorite the last time the two matched up. So I think he'll go as the second choice, which allows, if you're back in Hosier and you want to see that set up in a closer, then Hosier might be 4-1 as the third choice as the other Baffert. The other Baffert's a pretty successful handicapping angle. People followed California over the years would obviously know. So I think Hosier's got a shot in there. From a gambling standpoint, he's the bet because Concert Tour is going to be 3-5. There's not much you can do with that. You know, I'm single in the multi-race wagers. That's why they created the exotics, right? I don't think the intra-race bets are going to pay anything at all if you get Concert Tour on top. So if you like Concert Tour, single in the pick four, the pick five, and try to get the races around them there at Oaklawn. But if you're trying to beat them intra-race, and I think you've got a viable option at 4-1 in a six-horse field, I think Hosier's worth the play. If you're going to beat Concert Tour, you're going to do it with a reverse style. You're not going to do it playing his game, going to the front. It'll be somebody else softens him up, and a closer beats a horse like that. Every time, I mean, this goes handicapping any race. Look at the favorite and look what the favorite does best. And if you're going to beat that favorite, you're not going to beat him with another horse trying to do the same thing. So go the opposite way stylistically of the favorite. If the big favorite looks like a deep closer and you're going to try to beat him with speed. If the big favorite looks like speed and you're going to try to beat him with a closer. Usually don't beat the favorite at their own game. So if you're going to upset Concert Tour, I think it's the other Baffert Hosier from off the base. I wouldn't bet him at less than 4-1, but if you get 4-1, I think it's worth a win bet.
Which is certainly possible in there. As you say, Cattle River may take some action. Concert Tour is going to take a lot of action.
Yeah.
So that's going to float everybody up. All right, and finally, let's go over to Lexington. The Arkansas Derby, 100-point race for the winner in 50 seconds. The top two will definitely get into the Derby. But the Lexington is a points race worth only 20 points to the winner. But there are some horses in here, as you noted on your countdown to the crown package, that can use those 20 points to maybe work their way into the Kentucky Derby. It's My House, Hockey Dad, and certainly Proxy. That 20 points gets them firmly into the conversation. I'm going to pull up from the Oaklawn meet January 23rd, an allowance event, and the winner here will be number 7, Swiftsure. I have Proxy on top, but as you say, in a betting situation, I think Swiftsure is going to be interesting. And again, Swiftsure is the number 7 here, wins by a chart margin of 3.5. Second start of the career, second win for Steve Asmussen. First two starts were 6 furlong sprints. Goes into the Lexington and stretches out on Saturday. I thought Swiftsure was a little bit interesting. Doesn't hurt that he picks up Irad Ortiz. So I'm going to play around with that one. I have a horse right underneath, but yeah, as you say, multi-race wagers and whatnot, I have Proxy on top. I will use both of those. But in the race, if I get that 5-1 morning line, my win bet maybe goes to Swiftsure. Unbridled Honor is in the mix for me. Why? It's Todd Pletcher. We talked about what he did at Aqueduct and Sainthood a couple weeks back. So I had to throw him in at 10-1. And then I put Bezos in. Boy, this is the horse that had that early buzz and flopped in the debut. The comeback was pretty good. Workout prepping for this was very good for Bob Baffert. And the horse I left out of my mix but was originally in is Starring in My Dreams, who I think you're using in your mix, looking at the countdown to the crown package. So I'll let you talk a little bit about that one. But give us your thoughts in the Lexington.
Well, the 1, 2, 3, and 4, the first four horses in the gate are all sprint speed, right? And Swiftsure is one of those. And I think he's the best of those sprinters in there. Swiftsure, to me, is the most impressive 3-year-old sprinter I've seen so far this year. I'm surprised that he's going the mile on a 16th. I thought he would just be kind of aimed at, you know, the Pat Day Mile, the Chick Lang, the Woody Stevens, those kind of races that we're used to seeing top 3-year-old sprinters aimed at. So that they're going to stretch him out is curious. Maybe they're thinking he's a potential Preakness horse. I think he's got a ton of talent. If there weren't the 1, the 3, and the 4, and there also was some really good sprint speed, I would take a shot with Swiftsure. I think he's got a really good chance to be the best horse. I mean, if you look at the 10 horses on this list, he has a chance to be the best one of all of them. but it might be like as a Mattoli type horse, you know, and a Yelpon or somebody like that. One of Asmussen's three-year-old sprinters who do really well as the season progresses. He could obviously win this race. I think he's that good of a horse. I just don't think the pace sets up that great for him. Look, I'm taking a shot with the horse Starring in My Dreams. He's only 6-1 in the morning line. If he's 6-1 at post time, I'll probably just watch the race. I think you got to get more than that in price. I'm surprised that he was that low. He was a horse in Kentucky who ran well at 2 right off the bat for Dallas Stewart, and I got high on him because Dallas's horses usually don't do a whole lot right off the bat to start their career. They usually take time, and they're usually big plug-in closers, and by March, they're horses that might be ready for the Derby. Starting in My Dreams got off to a fast start, won the first 2 races of his career, won shorter than you'd expected. I had big expectations for him at Fairgrounds, and he flopped. He didn't run well at all in both of those races. He's worked well in the morning. My guess is maybe he just didn't like the track at Fairgrounds, but maybe he also has not progressed at all from 2 to 3. So I looked at him as like I was being cute. And I'll be honest, I do a lot of my handicapping in advance, and I look at a lot of these races 2 days out, things like that, before the morning lines are posted. I would have assumed he would be about a 15-1 shot in that field. At 6-1 in the morning line that we've learned since, I'm not wild about the price, but I like him. But I'm taking a reach. I'll admit, I'm taking a reach. Proxy's probably the best horse in the race for a route, but a real route. Like, I'm talking Belmont Stakes distance is what I'm looking for a horse like Proxy. So I'm surprised, honestly, that they went the mile and the 16th route with Proxy. He's sitting right around number 20, so maybe he gets bumped down to 21 with something that happens in the Arkansas Derby. But between now and Derby Day, you know there's going to be another defection or two. We're already counting on a horse to come over a Panadol from the UAE that, you know, until they get here, you never really count on them as part of that top 20. So I think Proxy would get into the Derby on points, so I don't know why they have to cram. I think he'll run his race. He's a good, even Steven kind of horse, but even Steven horses don't win a mile on the 16th at Keeneland very often. It's usually a horse who either closes and completely melts down, or it's good, solid inside speed. We got a lot of that in here. You might have the right horse with Swiftshire. My buddy Jeff Siegel really likes the inside horse in there, Noble Reflection, with a similar kind of pattern for Richie Baltus as Swiftshire, coming off the couple sprints, now trying to go long. So those inside pair, Noble Reflection, Swiftshire, horses that you definitely want to consider.
Yeah, and Swiftshire, you may be right. You know, the 20 points isn't going to get him into the Derby, but you want to try the 2 turns before the Preakness. So this may be a Preakness audition for this one, and if they don't get it, maybe it is on the races like, as you say, the Pat Day Mile and the Woody Stevens, but it may be a little bit of a 2-turn experiment for that one. Starting in My Dreams, I think you will float up. I'm looking at the field and thinking the 6-1, maybe you do get a couple more ticks.
That
wouldn't be out of the question, but I will note Dallas Stewart's having a great 2021.
Yeah, he's doing well at Keeneland early in the meet too. He's had a winner, 2 winners, I think, already at the meet. So, you know, that always helps, right? Keeneland's one of those momentum meets. It's short. It's only 4 weeks, 15 days this year because of the Easter holiday, typically 16 in the spring. So, you know, if you get off to a good start, sometimes that momentum rolls, but, 6-1 is too short on him. I think he could. Like, I was thinking 15. I'll bet him at 10. I'll bet him at 10. But in single digits, I'll use him obviously to look, because you're not picking against the horse that you're trying to play. So I'll use him in the multi-race wagers, maybe in the exotics as well. But on a straight win bet with him, I think you got to get at least 10-1 back to call it fair odds.
Very good, Jeremy. Again, always appreciate the conversation. Folks can check out Countdown to the Crown, Horse Player Now, or Jeremy's Picks every racing day at Keeneland via the Keeneland website. You can also, as I say, see the selections up before every race as the horses come out on the track on the simulcast signal. As always, Jeremy, appreciate the conversation and the thoughts. We'll talk again.
Keep up the great work. Always enjoy being with you.
Thanks a lot. Jeremy Plank, horseplayernow.com, Countdown to the Crown, and much, much more. Of course, thanks to Jeremy Plonk and Rick Hammerly for joining us. Again, taped them yesterday, taking a look at some of the three-year-old action in preview and review with Jeremy, and in preview of the Arkansas Derby with Rick Hammerly. And as I noted earlier, by the end of today, the Derby field will be in a position that will start to solidify. The points leaderboard will be set. All the points races will be done by today, the Arkansas Derby and the Lexington, the last of those. So we'll know what the points lineup is, and then it just becomes deciding, particularly maybe down towards the end of the list, do you go to the Derby or not? And we'll know over the next, you know, week or so. That'll start to shake out, certainly. But we'll have a much firmer idea of Kentucky Derby field by the end of today with the Arkansas Derby and the Lexington. Oaklawn and Keeneland, not only those two races, but a nice undercard of stakes at both of those tracks as well. There's some nice stakes action at Aqueduct also. We'll be taking a look at all of those when we come back in a couple hours with OTB Live. Before I wrap up Racing Across America, let me just hit you with some of the promos. And one of the big ones coming up is the Kentucky Derby Syndicate. And if you're not familiar, we started the syndicates last summer at Saratoga. And what it is everybody everybody who winds up on the team pops in a chunk of money. And typically it's $25. And then that money gets pooled together. OTB puts the money in. And you get to participate in a big ticket, typically pick fives some of the jackpot bets. And the syndicates have done very well. Not everyone, but there have been a number of nice hits and people have walked away with a lot of money. And what it gives you a chance to be in on a big ticket with a chance for a nice hit for a reasonable amount of money. And we're doing a Kentucky Derby syndicate this year. It's going to be a little more expensive. It's going to be $100 a pop, but there'll be 30 people in. Capital OTB is going to toss in another chunk of money. There'll be $5,000 to play on some various wagers into the Kentucky Derby this year. So, again, it lets you get into some kind of exciting wagering opportunities potentially in the Derby for a more reasonable amount of money. Excuse me. You can find out more information at the website, capitalotb.com. But I just wanted to alert you to that, the $5,000 Kentucky Derby Syndicate, because signups will start on April 17th. And the syndicates are first come, first served. So just be aware of that. Coming up on the 17th, we will open up opportunities for the Kentucky Derby Syndicate for this year. Today, Clubhouse Racebook. Come on down, watch the golf, watch the racing action. And in honor of the Masters Golf Tournament, we will have the pick and putt promotion. I know some folks were out there putting yesterday. We launched the promotion yesterday. It'll continue on this Saturday afternoon. Put your name in the hat when you get to the clubhouse. Folks will be randomly selected throughout the afternoon to step up to our little putting green out there and try to sink a putt. And if you do, you can win some dough. So it's a lot of fun here at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Also online today, there's a knockout challenge. Keep that in mind. Check out the website for more info. And tomorrow, once again, Clubhouse Racebook for a double promotion Sunday. Play the board contest and a match bet promotion here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Fun morning with a lot of action coming up this afternoon. Handicappers Report and Racing Across America. Hopefully we tossed out some ideas that you can use this afternoon. That is always the game plan. As I say, we'll be looking a little bit later on. I'll look specifically at Aqueduct, Keeneland, and Oaklawn, but there's a lot more action on board as well. And nighttime thoroughbreds tonight also, so you can put that in your back pocket to take you through the afternoon, evening, and into the night today here on Capital OTB and via CapitalOTBBet.com. All right, again, I'm going to wrap it up. Be back in about a couple hours or so with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.